It's time!
Happy number one medal! The eagle rises again! 29-0.
That's it! He's got the chance!
Nate Diaz!
He's out!
He has done it! It is all over! Nate Diaz beats Conor McGregor!
What a night, ladies and gentlemen! What a night!
Rose Lava, you're trying to close the show!
She was doing a great job of face.
That is it!
You're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports.
Huge boxing match with Errol Spence Jr. with Terrence Crawford, which we are going to get immediately into that, as well as UFC 291, which, you know, first and foremost, how are you guys? But I think we have some craziness to talk about. I don't know how you guys are after all this has happened.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't even know if I want to, like, say if I'm doing good or not. Honestly, I just want to talk about these fights because I'm so excited to recap them. A couple of my picks were correct. A couple of my picks were not so correct, I'll be quite honest. But, yeah, I'm really excited to get into it and also really unpack this boxing fight because, I mean, we weren't able to talk too much about it last week, but, I mean, I can't wait to just get into it.
You know what? My name is Monty. I'm good. Let's start. I don't care about anything else. Who am I? Let's get into it.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little sad that I wasn't able to, you know, predict fights with you guys last week. But looking at these results, I think it's for the best because I would have embarrassed myself, specifically UFC 291. I mean, we're going to get into boxing first. I was very confident with myself on that result. But UFC 291 was wild, 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 wild. And it pains me that we're going to have to chop that up. But like I said, first and foremost, let's talk about what happened with boxing this weekend. I predicted a win from Terrence Crawford. I think most people did, but I did not expect it to be this bad of a beatdown. And I really want to hear, what was your initial reaction of what happened there?
I mean, I guess I'll just jump in for like the most broad take ever is that it was domination. I mean, like going into this fight, I feel like, at least me and Madi, when we were talking about it a little bit, was we were expecting to be like, this is a cataclysmic battle. It's going to be so close throughout the entire fight. It's going to go the entire distance. It might be decided, you know, from a split decision. That's how competitive I at least thought this fight was going to be going into it. And I think that's for a good reason. I mean, both of these guys heading into this fight were at the tippy top of their career. I mean, you know, Terrence Crawford's resume speaks for himself. And even though Errol Spence did have that horrific car crash, he was bouncing back really well. So this was a massive fight that I thought was really going to go the distance and was going to be really close. But I mean, it just seemed that Terrence Crawford was a step ahead every single time. And I think that first knockdown really just kind of set the precedent for the rest of the fight. I believe that first knockdown was like the second round, right?
Yeah, second round, really early in the second round as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I think that just really set the precedent of how the fight was going to go on, you know, from there on out. And it just seemed like Errol Spence from that knockdown wasn't really able to work his way back into the fight. And then just from there, it was Terrence Crawford's night. So.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Marty?
Yeah. Andrew, when you talk about a cataclysmic fight, 4 years we've been waiting for this fight against Errol Spence. He had that huge car accident. And these are two guys who've lived a lot of life. I hear stories, Terrence Crawford, he gets shot in the head. He drives himself to the hospital. And these are two guys at the top of their game. Surprising, of course. I didn't expect Errol Spence to get dominated like that. Errol Spence was the bigger guy coming into this fight, and you've seen him win fights in the past with just his shad and defense. And he's a guy that if you turn around, boom, you blink. He's up four rounds after five rounds, and you only have one. What I did not expect was the complete outboxing aspect of it. Terrence Crawford, I mean, he's the best in the world. Like, regardless of the rankings, like, I believe when they were supposed to fight, he was also number one, but he's number one now. He's the best in the world. Like, I didn't expect him to outbox Errol Spence the way that he did. And I think that's the first time Errol Spence was actually knocked down in his career in that second round. And after that, you just saw all composure in his body. He's usually the guy walking guys down, but you see the respect that he has for Bud. And Bud just outclassed him. I didn't expect that at 36 years of age, fighting that caliber of fighter, because Errol Spence, you look on his resume, is one of the better fighters that he fought. It's a complete surprise. And Bud took it home. Bud took it home. And, you know, the counter punches were there, the combinations. You know, those are two things that we credit Brett Crawford for. You see Errol Spence try to throw a hook. You see Bud Crawford throw one back, but it's even more devastating. He just won out and out, through and through.
No, 100%. And the whole thing was honestly a shock to me. Obviously, I did have Terrence Crawford winning, but to see Errol Spence go out that bad was a little wild to me. I understand with the car accident, he has the bad retina. Obviously, that was a weak point for him, but it's almost as if when he walked out into the ring, he looked like he was on something. And I was watching with a group of people, and before the fight even started, a couple people even said, like, is he good? Like, he looks a little messed up. Like, what is up with him? I thought he was on drugs, to be quite honest. I don't know if it was something to help with the retina, but he basically looked faded. His eyes were half closed before he even got into the ring. I knew from that instant it was going to go down from there. And I think everyone, you know, I think Stevie Wonder could have saw that coming, for lack of a better term, but it was just not expected to be that bad. So it's honestly hard to go down like that too, to see him, because Errol Spence Jr. is a great fighter. And I think, even though a lot of people did have Terrence Crawford winning that battle, you know, we all want to see Errol Spence Jr. come back from that horrible accident he had. And to see it go like that, it leaves us asking, you know, what is next for Errol Spence Jr.? What do you guys have going on for him?
I think he needs to go back to lab. And I honestly, I will say I was scared. I did see that walkout also, and his eyes did look a little glazed over. And I've seen, you know, doctors, fans talk about
it.
And, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, substance related. I really doubt that it is, unless if something crazy happened. I honestly think it's more the car crash, honestly, because I've seen a couple people saying, like, in his couple, you know, buildup fights, his eyes always look a little glazed over, and he just looks a little kind of out of it. So honestly, what I really want to see out of him is go back to lab one, just work on it, get healthy, and also just, I don't know, try to figure out what exactly was amiss. Why it seems like he's a step removed from the Errol Spence before the car crash. And I just want to see if he can ever get back to that level. And if he can't, honestly, I don't think it's a bad thing to say hang up the gloves. I mean, he's already had a fantastic career, and I hate to see fighters that physically really shouldn't be fighting to continue to fight.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. What about you, Monty?
Yeah, I know that he said he wanted the immediate rematch. He said, hopefully we could do it again by the end of the year. And he's so graceful in loss. Like, you know, sports is a zero-sum game, the thrill of victory, agony of defeat. And you saw him humble in loss. But immediate rematches in boxing, like, the first guy's just going to do what he did to the second guy, but quicker this time. Obviously, you need to go back to the lab. I know he said that Jerron Ennis, who's another one in the division who's just killing everybody, was probably the fight that he wanted. I'm sure that works. You could try that, but there's a road back to that rematch. I don't think an immediate one is good. I actually didn't know that his retina was messed up. I thought that he was completely fine. I thought he made at least a full recovery, but he just didn't look like himself in the ring. He just looked like the respect was there. He respected Buck Crawford. You see him walking down people and he's hitting you with that jab. It just wasn't there from Errol Spence. But again, there's going to be a long road back. A bunch of tune-up fights is the word in the business. But then you come back and then you fight Buck Crawford. I think that's usually where it goes. For Buck Crawford, I think he fights Jermell Charlo. You see him calling him out in the stands afterwards. So I think
that's where he goes.
But as of right now, he's the king.
No, I mean, 100%. But also, moving forward, did you guys see the ESPN pound for pound rankings? What was your take on that?
I did see it. I mean, I feel like, as you get more down this ranking, I'm a little more confused. And maybe Madi can speak to that. And Riley, you can also speak to that, because you guys are definitely, I would say, more into boxing than I am. But I feel like it's always a plan, or always a problem with MMA also, where it's, you know, pound for pound rankings, to be quite honest, if I'm being honest, at least in my personal opinion, I think are BS. I don't think are really that important. And I think it's just a bunch of writers getting together and saying whatever. But at least looking at this, putting Terrence Crawford at number one, Inoue at number two, Usyk at number three. I don't know if I'd necessarily agree with Usyk at number three. But honestly, at least the first five, it looks pretty good to me. I don't know, Riley, do you have any objections, or Madi?
I mean, obviously, you know how I feel about Devin Haney. So to see
I knew
him
there
that
was going
to
be something about
that. Don't even bother asking me that question if you don't want to rant for me right now. But at the end of the day, Terrence Crawford is number one. Makes complete sense to me. What really shook me with the list was Shakur Stevenson over Tank. That's what really got my attention.
aside from the fact that I could go on a Devin Haney rant for 3+ hours, the fact that they had Shakur Stevenson over Tank kind of had me confused.
And I'll ask actually a quick question. Do you think that they place Shakur a little bit higher just because of maybe stuff outside the rink? I mean, Gervonta's still dealing with legal issues. And also, I mean, Devin Haney and Shakur Stevenson, that is a fight that is waiting in the wings. So do you think maybe placing them right next to each other could, you know, make that fight a little bit more exciting?
Yeah.
I definitely think that has maybe a hand in it. Obviously, the politics comes and goes, of course, but I would hate to see that dictate where he places on this ranking. And but you know, we've seen countless times with boxers, you know, the arrest records, they're in jail, and we've witnessed firsthand that this doesn't affect them to that extent. So I would hope that's not what's coming into play here.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking also, I mean, if you want to look at MMA also, John Jones, I mean, number one pound for pound for a couple of years despite all of his issues outside the octagon. So
oh, of course, we could get into that one too. But, you know, Tank's out now. Tank's out of jail officially. So that's more news there. But, I mean, Shakur over Tank is just wild. And, of course, I seeing Devin Haney that low on the list, that's just personal for me because I love that man so much. I'm sure a lot of people agree with his placement, but I just can't stand that. But I will say the top five on that list I have no problems with, which is very rare for me with the ESPN rankings. I feel like I always have a huge issue. But to see Terrence Crawford finally at number one on the pound-for-pound rankings, I don't have a debate with that.
You know, if you're asking me, I have no problem with the top five. I think Usyk is a strong number three. Canelo at four makes sense. And then you have Dimitri Bivol at five. I think he does rank out to five. He was originally ranked six. He's 21-0 with 11 KOs, light heavyweight champion. He's amazing. But I got to talk about Naoya Inoue. He has like Bud Crawford right now. I mean, boxing's a what have you done for me lately sport. And obviously Spence Crawford is a higher profile fight than Inoue Bolton. But if you were to tell me that Inoue's number one, I wouldn't be mad at you. Not at all. I don't know if any of you guys
really
I wouldn't be mad at you.
I mean, I kind of agree with Madi a little bit. I mean, to be honest, I haven't seen too many of his fights, but I mean, just looking at his highlights and his record, I mean, he is a scary, scary person. He's like a boxer's boxer, one of the most technical guys I've ever seen.
Interesting. That's a take for sure.
And if
I mean, I respect you. I don't agree, but I'll pretend I respect it.
But if you want to talk about pound for pound, I mean, 5'5" and packs a punch. And you saw in that last fight, Stephen Fulton talking about being the more intelligent boxer, talking about being the smarter one. People forget because of his power and his timing and his speed and his punching power and the fact that he has a knockout ratio of 88%, that this guy is a very smart fighter. Very, very smart. He places his punches well. You even see Tank Davis react to him saying that he places his punches really, really well. And Inoue is for real. And even back all the way in 2019, he was ranked number two. He was ranked number two behind Bud. So he's always been there. He's a really good fighter. Bantamweight, super flyweight, light flyweight. He's everywhere. And Inoue is really, really good. So he's one to look out for sure. I think he has the most upside out of any boxer here.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I mean, whatever. I'm just not.
He's insane. He's insane.
Dude, I'm trying not to be controversial.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think the biggest thing, though, is that he hasn't really broken into the North American market yet. And I feel like, I don't know, people that you see a clip of him, you're like, oh, that's really awesome. But other than that, you don't hear too much about him in the States, just news-wise or highlights-wise. So I feel like he really does need a big fight in the States or something to, like, really debut himself. And then I think that I think that number two spot would make a whole lot more sense, at least in the minds of, you know, us fans.
No, I see it. I see it. And, you know, last topic for boxing. Obviously, I have to plug a little Devin Haney talk. I know this is very forced, but Devin Haney just announced he has an upcoming fight, I believe October 28th. And I want to know, what is your thoughts on that? We've a million times chatted over how we are pushing for Devin Haney Shakur or Devin Haney Tank. And as we could see, it is not that. So are we happy with this upcoming fight or are we just like, eh?
I mean, it's something that I've always had a problem with boxing, and I'm sure that Shakur and Devin Haney are eventually going to fight. Eventually, I feel like it's going to be a whole lot like Spence versus Crawford, where we're going to have to wait a couple of years for it to actually happen with, you know, like every boxing fight. So, I mean, I think it's not a bad thing that Devin Haney's getting more experience in the ring. He's going to build up his record a little bit more, and it's going to be fun to see him in the, you know, in the ring, because he's always a fun fighter. But I mean, the fight that everyone wanted to see was Shakur Stevenson. So
100%.
I'm still waiting for that one, but I will be watching this one.
I don't know. For me, Haney got to build. He got to build a rapport with me. I wasn't happy. Again, the Lomachenko fight leaves a kind of bad taste in my mouth just off of the strength of his performance. Like, obviously he won, but it's the way in which he won. Shakur Stevenson's a show. He's not a 35-year-old fighter looking to get back. He's a guy that wants the future boxing title with Devin Haney. And again, they're ranked number 8 and 9 in the division, in the rankings, rather. So jumping headfirst into Shakur, sure. But a fight in between wouldn't hurt, just to build your momentum back. It's a, you know, just build a, yeah, just to build your momentum back, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I wanted to see Shakur. I've pushed for that for a while as a Shakur Stevenson hater, Devin Haney lover. I'm a little disappointed, but at the same time, that's fine. Let's just get Devin that record up, you know? That's my boy. Sorry, this was a very forced conversation real quick here. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about today, but of course.
That's fine. I feel like we got to have a dedicated Devin Haney, like, little segment whenever Riley's on the show, you know?
Of course, of course. I wish I was on camera right now. I'd put on my Devin Haney shirt. But no, I have to incorporate Devin Haney into everything I do. So that, you know, I haven't chatted it up with you guys in a while. So I'm happy to just throw that in your face real quick. Rub a little Devin Haney in here. But, you know, I think that's about all for boxing. Moral of the story is that Errol Spence Jr. fight just really shook my world. Everybody, I was with a large group when we watched it. And if anything, the most shocking part for me was that it went on that long. I thought it was going to be over in the second round. I truly did. And like a million times I could say, I knew Terrence Crawford was going to win, but not that bad. And it really made me almost sad to see, you know, even as someone betting against the man losing, I was just like, no, please get up. And even to hear his coach, you know, ringside, the advice he was giving him, I was like, really? Like, this is what we're talking about now? Like, it wasn't put your hands up, guard that retina. It wasn't, you know, switch your stance. It was none of that. It was just really weird what was going on there. And the whole performance from Errol Spence Jr. was disappointing for me. I don't know if, I guess it maybe is time for him to retire. I think I might have to agree with you on that one, Andrew. He has a great record. And another thing I do want to add before we switch topics is, you know, while I was watching this fight, I heard a lot of people commenting next to me. They're like, oh, well, Terrence Crawford's so much older. He's so much more educated. And I was like, wait a second. No, he's not. He's only got like 2 years on Errol Spence. And it made me think everyone was so confident. He was just this older, wiser fighter. I almost had to double back myself and be like, wait, is he? So to see that he isn't, I know he's been in the game a little bit longer, but he only does have 2 years on Errol Spence Jr. And the fact that that was the general view from the public, at least the one I was surrounded with, that he was just this older, wiser fighter. And it's like, no, they're only 2 years apart, but that's how different their performance was. So, you know, I guess we could just hope for the best for Errol Spence Jr. I hope he does maybe step away from boxing for a while and just focuses on that retina, because it's clearly an issue, or clearly just focuses on his health. And congrats to Terrence Crawford, because it was a very well-deserved win.
Yeah, no, but, definitely. I mean, definitely some time off will do him well.
No, 100%. And I do think that, you know, I love UFC as well as boxing, but I really feel like we're in a hot streak for boxing. We have a lot of great fights coming up. We've had a lot of great fights in the past, and I just feel like this is the year of boxing. So I hope this momentum keeps going. I hope all these upcoming fights live up to the hype. I hope the Canelo fight lives up to the hype. I hope that Devin Haney fight lives up to the hype. I just hope that everything just falls into place for boxing. But to skip away from boxing, we got to talk about UFC 291. I mean, this was just a crazy packed weekend. Am I right?
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, like, I was trying to like literally figure out like what my Saturday schedule was going to look like. It felt like work. Honestly, I was like, all right, so I'm going to watch the fights. Then I'm going to transition over to Errol Spence. I'm going to have a nice little dinner break, you know, but I was so excited. I was like, in bliss.
No, I feel you. I dedicated my Saturday to boxing, of course, but I've still, up until about an hour before we recorded this pod, I've been watching UFC 291 clips. There's just been so much going on between boxing and UFC. It's like too much to handle. They really need to switch weekends with this. I can't do this all on one Saturday. You said it perfectly. It's like a job.
No, I mean, I'll be honest, I do, before we hop into these fights, which I can't wait to talk about, is I honestly, like, I get that it's a big fight weekend and you want to have the biggest fights for, like, this respective weekend, but for having one of the biggest boxing fights in the past couple of years alongside one of the biggest UFC fights in the past couple of years, I don't know, just, like, maybe just spread them apart by, like, a weekend. I don't know, like,
yeah.
Give them a turn to each one. I don't know. I feel like just from a promotion aspect, that's just a smarter choice, but I don't know.
No, exactly. I mean, of course, from a fan perspective, my initial response is I don't want them all on the same night so I could watch it all live and in action. But again, from a promotional perspective, now you have to divide the viewers up between these two networks and these two promotions, and it's probably losing them a little bit of money. And if they were smart, I think they would have waited a weekend, specifically UFC 291. I think that could have held off a little bit, or even boxing. They easily could have moved that back a weekend in the sense of the cash.
Yeah, it's like two rappers trying to drop on the same day to see who does better. It's
like, yeah.
I'm not mad because I got to see both. It's my little flex, but yeah, it was a good, very good. It was a very good time for me. Very good time.
Yeah, of course. I unfortunately was at a watch party, and it was dedicated to boxing, so I couldn't switch back and forth from UFC. I think that would have made it a more fun experience. But either way, I did get to catch up. So let's just jump right into it. UFC 291. Thank goodness I was not on this pod last week. That's all I have to say, because my fight streak has, you know, I feel like, no offense to Monty, I'm not trying to rub it in again, but I have been known to have the better fight streak out of the two of us. But lately, you have been in your comeback season. I don't know what's up with you. I don't know if it's something in your drinking water. I don't know what it is, but the opposite has happened for me. All of my fight picks have been slowly going downhill, and I'm very happy I wasn't on this pod, you know, talking my talk, because I would have embarrassed myself. Almost every fight I picked this weekend did not go as planned, and I was completely shocked. I mean, let's just get right into it. I think the main event is something I really want to get into, because, of course, I would have got it wrong. We have Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje. Let's hear it. I mean, what did you guys expect to happen versus what actually did?
Okay, so I'll jump right in. I talked a lot about this last week, and I was like, it's funny because we were texting in the group chat Saturday night as this fight unfolded. But what I talked about a lot last week was how this fight was taking place in Salt Lake City and how elevation might play a role and how Dustin Poirier might get a little tired as the fight goes on into these later rounds. Because expecting, you know, a drag him out war kind of like that first fight, that ended up going to the fourth round. Dustin Poirier only getting the win, I believe, like a minute or two into that fourth round the first time out. So I was expecting to be a longer fight and maybe that playing some of a factor. But man, Justin Gaethje just looked on a different level, was able to land that head kick, just surprised Dustin Poirier. And honestly, elevation didn't matter at all. Both guys looked fresh, and then Dustin Poirier was just out cold. It was crazy.
Yeah, listen. I mean, out cold in 1 minute of round two. It was a beautiful head kick. Not beautiful for me because I didn't have him winning, but let's hear it, Monty.
Well, I did. So, but obviously, the first time around, just like, I'm not mad at you guys for picking Dustin Poirier, right? He's obviously the more calm fighter, and he's probably the more better all-around fighter, but Gaethje just hits like a Mack truck. And the main thing about him, and it's something I noticed in a lot of other fighters, like Michael Chandler too, is like, they're not able to close fights. Very erratic sometimes. They make poor decisions. They got a guns blazing mentality. But, Justin Gaethje is one of the better leg kickers in all of the promotion. Like, he's going to tear up that leg, and he knows how to use his own legs correctly. I didn't expect a kick to the head. Like, I didn't expect it. I knew if he was going to finish Poirier, it was probably going to, he was going to knock him out with these. I didn't expect a leg kick. But I got to say that I am happy. I'm a huge Justin Gaethje fan, like, huge. I know Andrew loves his Aljamain. I got Justin Gaethje. Max Holloway,
yeah,
a favorite here, but
I knew you'd be happy. I'm mad that you're happy, to be honest. I hate to sound like the Grinch, but I hate when you're happy with these wins, because that means I'm unhappy since we never agree, which I obviously am very unhappy with this result. It was beautiful, though. It was a beautiful head kick in that early. I mean, like I said, 1 minute of round two is unreal. Also earned performance of the night. You know, I hate to say it. I do believe it was deserving. Do you guys agree with that?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, this was a crazy fight. I mean, also in Justin Gaethje, I feel like, I guess the point I'm going to try to make here is that I feel like in heavyweight, you know, Tom Aspinall is famous for talking about it. It's like that if you're perfect for like, you know, 24 minutes in a fight and you screw up that 1 minute, it's, you know, game over. And I feel like Justin Gaethje, more so than any lightweight that we've really ever seen in the UFC, really epitomizes that heavyweight kind of mindset. I feel like even like in the era of Conor McGregor, he had to, you know, hit you with a couple of good combinations to really put you out. But we see with Justin Gaethje, like in his fight with Edson Barboza and this fight with Dustin Poirier, you make one mistake and you're done. It's game over, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Justin Gaethje, I think I'm going to have to check the stat. I think he has more, you know, bonuses through the UFC than actual fights recorded, which is an insane stat. I'm going to have to double check that. But, yeah, I mean, definitely deserving for performance.
Oh, yeah.
No, 100%. And, I mean, it also, I got to add, though, it is Dustin Poirier's first knockout loss since Michael in, what was that, like 2016?
Yeah, it was a while ago, I believe back in 2016. And that was like his real last fight before he kind of turned over a leaf and turned into like the Dustin Poirier that we really know today. That's made a couple runs to the title. So I don't know. I'm really interested to see how he bounces back. I mean, I know how resilient Dustin Poirier is. But I mean, that knockout was bad. And I mean, it wasn't like a knockout where he was still kind of with it there for a second. I mean, he was
It was a clean cut knockout.
It was actually very, very similar to the one back in 2016. So
yeah, hard watch. I mean, what do you guys think is next for Dustin Poirier after this loss?
I'm going to have to check the rankings. I mean, I already know what's next for Gaethje, at least in my opinion. I think he fights the winner of Makhachev versus Oliveira 2. I mean, yep. I think that he has, you know, some crazy momentum behind him. But, I mean, at least for Dustin Poirier, I think he needs another tune-up fight, get back into it. And also, I mean, similar to Errol Spence, I really want to see him take some time off. I mean, this is the first time that he's really had a knockout like this in a while. So, yeah, just take some time off and get back into it with a little bit of an easier fight. Mahdi, do you have any potential matchups?
Yeah, that's gonna be the plan for Gaethje. Of course, he's gonna fight the winner of Makhachev Oliveira too, potentially for the championship, for the lightweight championship. And I always talk about how I want Gaethje to be a champion. For Dustin Poirier, if you look at the lightweight division, I mean, maybe he could go ahead and he could take, I don't know.
Maybe Beneil Dariush possibly.
Dariush works. Dariush is somebody maybe within the top five. I think that would work. Maybe Dariush, maybe Chandler. Maybe something like that. Maybe a high-profile case just to put himself back in that conversation. Because this
I don't mean to veer the conversation a little off. I don't know if you saw the Dustin Poirier and Michael Chandler kind of jawing back at each other on Twitter following the knockout. I mean, it seems like Dustin Poirier really does have like a grudge against Michael Chandler. So
that works.
I'd be surprised to see if that fight's ever scheduled again. I mean, it's either never going to happen or it's going to happen and it's going to be fantastic.
Exactly.
Dana, set it up, Dana.
Oh, Dana. Such a love hate with Dana. I really don't even get me started. But if you really don't want to get me started, let's talk about this next fight because we have Alex Pereira, who I love. Everyone knows the first episode of Pound for Pound, I really just ranted about how much I hate Izzy and how much I love Alex. And he was very successful in his light heavyweight debut when he edged out former champion. Yeah. The problem here for me is I obviously love Alex Pereira. I could go on about that forever. But for the most part, I'm also a Polish girl, which we know I always root for the Polish guys. I always root for the Russians. All those Eastern Europeans, I always have this mentality that I'm never betting against them, specifically those Dagestani Russians. Of course, they're in another category of their own, but I never bet against them. So this was a hard fight for me. It was kind of like a lose-lose situation because I want to see Alex Pereira do good in life. I want to see him win. But at the same time, I never want to see the Polish guy lose, which is what's happened here. It was a decision in round three, 5 minutes in. And I mean, good for Alex Pereira. This was his debut in light heavyweight. So I'm happy for him. I truly am. Despite the fact that, again, I would have lost another fight prediction this week. I still got to say, I'm very happy to see Alex Pereira. What was your take when you first saw this fight?
If I could take this quickly, I originally wanted to pick Alex Pereira to win this fight last week. Andrew and Andy convinced me otherwise that Jan is just a superior wrestler. But what I got to say about Alex Pereira is he looked natural at light heavyweight. Like initially when the fight first started, you see Jan try to initiate the takedown sequence where he has Alex on the cage. Alex has surprisingly good takedown defense. Like he looks more natural. And again,
right,
he hits like a Mack truck. Like that dude, like, he has the power to knock out some heavyweights. He could move up another division. I wouldn't be surprised if he found success there. And welcome to the party. That's one hell of a debut, Jan Błachowicz. To go out there and to beat a guy like that, it went to the decision. But, you know, that happens sometimes when you move up. That happens when you move up divisions. You're not just going to be crushing anybody. So, hey, hats off to Pereira. He looks natural. He looks like a light heavyweight.
I think it was long overdue for him to switch categories as well. I think we could all agree on that.
Yeah. I mean, like Mahdi said, he just looks like a natural light heavyweight. And honestly, it's kind of counterintuitive, but it looks like his takedown defense, I mean, obviously he didn't really experience too much of that in middleweight. It seemed like it was better in light heavyweight than it has ever been in middleweight, which is a little weird considering the guys are heavier and everything like that. But yeah, honestly, going into this fight, I really thought that it was Błachowicz's fight to lose. I felt like he had the advantage in grappling. He also has that legendary Polish power. And also, Alex Pereira was only knocked out like 3 months ago. So, I mean, it was definitely a precarious position for Pereira. And I'm really glad that he just, you know, showed how good of a fighter he is, because I feel like a lot of people are starting to doubt that with that Adesanya knockout 3 months ago. So I feel like Pereira was really able to, you know, just say, hey, I'm here in this new light heavyweight division. And also, I mean, just unrelated too, I feel like he's adding a whole lot more excitement to light heavyweight division. I feel like, you know, a lot of guys are out on injury and a lot of guys are actually leaving the weight class. So for him to move up and just add that, you know, new breath of life, I'm very excited to see him get this win.
100%.
Be a top contender now.
No, I agree 100%. And now, not to switch topics here, but did you guys see Israel Adesanya's reaction to this fight? Twitter was buzzing, of course, after this happened. I just feel like Izzy always just has to chime in and say do his little thing. I'm so sick of him. I don't even want to talk about him. I hate giving him time. You know, I can't stand him, but I want you guys to tell me how you felt about his reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Izzy's always going to be like, annoying. He's in the position now where he's going to be like a little salty about everything, but also like, you know, have the appearance of being like, oh, congratulations, good for you. But he did actually bring up a good point of a clip that I've just been seeing circulating like Twitter and everything for the past couple of days. And that was right after the fight ended, where Pereira has his hands up. He's walking back to his corner. And then you see Jan like slump over and sit down on the cage. And the first thing Izzy says is like, you never want to do that. You can't do that. And you're going to lose the fight. And I think that there is definitely a lot of weight to it. I mean, people always say that in fights. And also we always talk about like the Khabib thing where he was never cut in a fight and he never bled. And that meant a lot, you know, towards the judges and also to himself and just like his whole, like his mentality, I guess, if that makes any sense. So off the back of that though, I think that was just, you know, effective.
Yeah, I just am so sick of him. I think that's very inevitable.
Andrew, really, really quickly, I really appreciate that point because I think throughout sports in general, not just combat, it's the impression you leave on your contemporaries, right? The fact that Khabib never bled, the fact that he never lost a round, the fact that everybody knew that when they were going to fight John Jones, they were a lamb going to the slaughter. It's the same reason why Michael Jordan's considered like the greatest athlete ever, right? You knew you were going to lose to MJ, didn't matter what you did. So I think that's a pretty good point. And it's a good point that Israel Adesanya made, but when you lose a fight like that, sometimes it's just like, you know, you lost. So congrats to Alex Pereira. Really congrats.
No, big congrats. Again, I could say a million times, thank God I was not on the show last week, because I would have embarrassed myself. But at the end of the day, I always root for Alex Pereira deep down inside. I'm so happy that he's, you know, switched it over and he's doing amazing. And I just can't stand Israel Adesanya. So to see, you know, arguably one of his biggest rivals thriving in some way, shape, or form just makes me happy alone. I cannot stand Izzy. The fact that he even had to tie himself into this just irritates me. Madi, I wish you were on the episode. We, me and Andrew were together, and we were with Chris Carino. We were chatting it up because it was when he got in the ring and he was, what was he doing? Throwing the N-word around, trying to.
Oh, yeah, the Dricus Duplessis thing. Yeah,
I was trying to get Dricus to throw the, like, that was just, I mean, I was sick of him long before that. That's honestly how I feel like that's my historic start to Pound for Pound. Like, that's when we started the show, the first episode way back when, it was just me talking about how much I can't stand Israel Adesanya. So I feel like this is just a full circle moment. The show has come so far, as well as my hate for this waste of space with peace and love. So, but moving forward, I don't want to give him any more time than he doesn't need. So let's jump into that Derek Lewis TKO win. I mean, in less than a minute. Damn, UFC 291. This was crazy. Just back-to-back-to-back surprises, whether you had him winning or whether you didn't. Under a minute is wild. What did you guys think when you saw that?
Oh, I mean, this was a crazy fight. Return to form for Derek Lewis, which I've been waiting for a while. I feel like he's been kind of, you know, in and out of the octagon in terms of performances. He's really shown up or really not shown up. Man, he looked amazing. And also, we talked about this last week. This fight was originally just supposed to be a prelim before getting bumped up to the main card. And wow, what a fight to bump up to the main card. I mean, it turned out so well. I mean, it returned to form for Derek Lewis, both in the octagon and also in the post-fight interview. One of the funniest things I think of the entire night. I mean, it was all over social media. I'm just so happy watching this fight.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Madi?
Yeah, I got to tell you, just like you said, Andrew, Derek Lewis, he's a hit or a miss, and this one for sure. It was a hit. You know, last week we talked about the fight against Francis Ngannou, which was supposed to be freaking fireworks, two Mack trucks going at it, and then nothing happens. And then we get treated to this, like this Jorge Masvidal flying knees, and then he's just beating down. And then he takes off his pants towards the end, and he's circling the ring. And then he gives us one of our, like a signature Derek Lewis press conference afterwards. So it was just perfect. It's just Derek Lewis at his best. You get Derek Lewis at his worst, Derek Lewis at his best, and for sure, this was him at his best. So
yeah, hey, there's never an in-between, but it was great to see him at his best. And he had a lot to say in that post-fight press conference. It kind of made me chuckle, I'm not going to lie. He said, quote, "Everybody is cool here except for the media. Y'all blank heads. F all y'all, really. But go ahead, next question." And I just felt like that was the perfect way to capture Derek Lewis after this win. That is the Derek Lewis we know and love. That is,
100%. I mean, honestly, I would give it like a 50-50 if he even believes in that comment that he said. Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely maybe a little bit of weight there. But I mean, that's a classic Derek Lewis line. I'm glad that we're finally getting these, because I feel like it's been a while.
No, 1,000%. And now, of course, before we move on and go down this fight list, because we have so much to talk about in so little time, where do we see Derek Lewis from here?
Let me check the heavyweight rankings. I actually do want to check where he's at in it. And then, yeah, so right now he's ranked number 10. And honestly, like, considering that he did risk, I mean, obviously it didn't really show up at all in this fight being so quick that it was, but he did risk fighting a grappler, Marcos Rogério de Lima, who has been pretty consistent in the UFC. So off the back of that, I feel like he really has earned a fight. Maybe, actually, you know what I could really love is maybe a rematch between Alexander Volkov. Because
I rock with that.
Volkov is ranked number 8 right now. And I mean, you guys know, I mean, that kind of started the whole Derek Lewis legend, that, you know, third round knockout. So I think that could be an interesting fight to see again.
I was going to say Sergey Spivak or even Tai Tuivasa. I don't know how
big those are. I like that Sergey fight. You know how I feel about that.
So I think that would work. I mean, just off the momentum of this, I mean, hey, why don't we jump up a couple of spots and go after six or seven? So I think that would work.
Sure.
But that's also a great fight against Volkov.
No, why not? I would love to see that Sergey fight. You know how I feel about that. You know, that's exactly what I want to see. And, you know, not to damper the mood here, but let's talk about something I did not want to see, and that is that Tony Ferguson fight. I think that was disappointing for a lot of people to see. Not only did he lose, but it was how he lost. It was Tony Ferguson was submitted in the final seconds of his fight against Bobby Green, and this marks his sixth straight loss inside the octagon. I feel like we're watching the death of Tony Ferguson, and it's hard to see. And honestly, the last time I believe we were all together, it was around the time of that Bobby Green headbutt incident, was it not?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's how long it's been.
Yeah, it has definitely been a minute. But I mean, when this fight first got announced, I was very cautiously optimistic. I was like, okay, this is a fight Tony Ferguson can win. And I talked about this last week where I felt like this is a fight that is like kind of catered towards Ferguson. Bobby Green doesn't have crazy knockout power, doesn't mm-hmm. have, you know, crazy grappling. He's more of an endurance fighter. He goes the distance a lot of times, and he does have slick boxing. But Ferguson is known to take a punch and work well off of, you know, pretty systemic basics, you know, just with his funky style. So I felt like it was a fight that he could definitely win. But man, it's just it was sad, honestly. As like a huge Tony Ferguson fan, I've been a fan since he fought Cowboy way back in the day, a couple of years ago at this point. Man, it was just depressing to watch. I feel like it really confirmed everything I was thinking about with Tony Ferguson, his decline. And honestly, I guess maybe he can get another fight in the UFC, maybe possibly, but more often he's probably going to lose it. And then he'll probably set the record for most consecutive losses in UFC history, which is crazy to go from one of the record setting UFC lightweights of all time to being this bad in just a matter of years. I mean, this only just started back in 2020 with the Justin Gaethje fight. It's mm-hmm. insane to me. I can't believe it. And I saw him like complaining a little bit, you know, saying like how Bobby Green, I poked him, and that kind of led to him, you know, just having a weird funk for the rest of the fight, not really able to work himself back into it. But I mean, I think the time for excuses, it's over, you know, either you show up or you don't. And he didn't show up. And I'm more sad than anything else. I'm not angry. I'm just, man, Tony.
Mm-hmm. Moving forward from here, not to cut you off, Monty, but I just want to know if Andrew, do you think he should just kind of get his shit together, for lack of a better term, or if it is time to just hang it up?
Honestly, just looking at the course of his career, I could see maybe like a real legacy fight, you know, like maybe he leaves the UFC and he fights somebody that, you know, maybe like a, I can't even think of a name, maybe like a, well, actually Kevin Lee just retired. So he can't fight him anymore, but either like a legacy fight that is like really simple for him, something similar to like a Nate Diaz when he fought him, because that was a pretty close fight, or just it's time to hang it up, man. I really hate mm-hmm. to say it, especially considering how quick it was. It was only 3 years. It's crazy. But I just, mm-hmm. especially considering his problems outside the octagon too, I feel like we all very, you know, aware of those. I mean, I've seen like the jokes that he tried to Inamari roll his car and everything like that. I think he's got some problems outside the octagon that he's really got to deal with. So either a long break or just straight up retirement.
You know, Andrew, we were talking about this last week, and I remember your reaction to all this, and it kind of mirrors what you're saying today. I guess me and you are two, like, I think everybody here is a huge fan of Tony Ferguson. It just sucks to see your heroes fall from grace, man. I remember a time when Conor held the double belts and was like effing off with, for lack of a better word, with Floyd Mayweather. Khabib and Tony Ferguson were just lighting up the lightweight division, and that fight was a curse, and then Conor came back. But Tony Ferguson put one hell of a streak together during that time. And, you see him fall so fast. I mean, usually fights are way different. I think losses are way different. I mean, if you throw in Michael Chandler and Justin Gaethje and Charles Oliveira and all the guys in the top five, and he loses all of them, it's like, come on, they're all guys in the top five. But to lose to Bobby Green, it's like, Bobby Green's a high-volume puncher. He's not going to knock you out. He doesn't have crazy power, good combination. Mm-hmm. But just to see him lose the way he did, again, the eye poke, he said that was bothering him. You just see him walk off and he's still like,
yeah,
eyes still bothering him. It just sucks to see, man. El Kukui.
No, but I mean, you make a really solid point, because I was going to jump in and ask you. A lot of fans have suggested that Green's win was more of a sign of just Tony Ferguson's downfall as opposed to Green's talent. So do you think that this win came from Bobby Green being good or just Tony Ferguson being that awful lately?
I got to give Bobby Green his flowers. Like, I can't just sit here and just take a dumb ball over Bobby Green. Again, he's an excellent.
Yeah, he didn't headbutt this time. Good for him.
Excellent combination punches. He's gonna hit you a lot. If he was a boxer, he'd be one with a very, very high work rate. And he could fight. Bobby Green could fight, but it also has some to do. I think it's a mix of both. Like Tony Ferguson, like from where he was to now, and with the alleged DUI, it's like a BJ Penn-ish in situation. I don't know if anybody remembers everything, but it's a similar thing. But yeah, mm-hmm. Tony Ferguson. It sucks to see your heroes fall. It does.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that quote. What is it? Like, you live long enough to either die a hero or see yourself become the villain. And although he's not necessarily becoming the villain, we're watching him just turn into something that, you know, this isn't the Tony Ferguson we know and love. And I think that's really hard to watch from a fan perspective, whether you love him or hate him. It's just no one wants to see this downfall. And this is a very big downfall. Like I said, this is his sixth straight loss in the octagon. So I personally think it's time to end it up before it gets too bad, but we'll see what the future holds. I mean, that's my opinion on what the future holds for Tony Ferguson, but where do we see Bobby Green going after this win?
I mean, I guess this is part of me, I guess, answering the question if this is like, you know, more Bobby Green showing up and putting on a big performance versus Tony Ferguson just, you know, not looking like he used to. Mm-hmm. Off the back of his performance is like, I felt like Bobby Green looked good. It's not anything that we haven't seen from him before. I feel like we saw that maybe a year or two ago with like COVID, where we really saw him like, you know, turn over a new leaf and he was, you know, this new exciting fighter, at least technically. But in this fight, it didn't look like he was really putting, you know, doing anything that special or that new that he was adding to his skill set. But that being said, I mean, it was still a big win for him. I'm trying to look at the rankings now to see where he could possibly go. I mean, both of these fighters weren't even ranked, so maybe, yeah, I don't know, honestly. I could see maybe like a Matt Frivola could be kind of fun, I would say.
Okay.
Matt Frivola is ranked 14 right now. I believe he's coming off a big knockout. I actually need to check who he knocked out. But I think that
we chatted
fight.
That up before.
Yeah.
Love me some Matt Frivola.
Yeah, I feel like that could be a fun fight. Maybe Hinako Moicano also.
With Matt Frivola, like, they're both such big personalities in and outside the ring. So aside from just the fight, I would love to see those guys face off.
I mean, if you want to talk about fight, I don't know how big of a reach this is. This may be like a super reach, but put him up against Hangman. I think Dan Hooker, Bobby Green.
Okay.
I wouldn't be mad at that. I think
I'm not hating it. I'm not going to lie.
Dan Hooker right now, I want to say he's ranked 10, 11. He's like lower half. But I think that could be a fun fight. Sure. Bobby Green, I mean, he's strung together a few wins. So.
I mean, to be honest, though, I don't know if that's a great choice for Bobby Green, because, I mean, Dan Hooker just went with the blonde hair, just beat Jalen Turner. He's turning over like that whole like blonde Brunson type thing. I don't know. Uh-oh. He might be a scary guy now. I don't know.
That hair dye is getting to his brain cells. That's what it is. Making him a little psycho, but that's what we need. Bobby Green's a little bit of a psycho. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, the last time we really got into it with Bobby Green was that whole headbutt situation. He's a wild card.
No, definitely. He's a wild card. Something. And I mean, like you were saying also with like the Matt Frivola matchup, I think it could be fun also with Dan Hooker. I mean, he was the one that coined the term Charlie Olives for Charles Oliveira. But one of the funniest things heading into this week was Tony Ferguson walking into the arena and then Bobby Green, like, having the ski mask on, just, like, staring him down. It was pretty funny. So, either way he goes, I think he's got some fun fights in the future.
Yeah,
it's definitely going up for Bobby Green. I feel like it's going down for Tony Ferguson. But one thing that went up is Riley Lucas's fight record with his last fight, because this is the only one I honestly would have got right. So I just want to harp on this really quick. Kevin Holland, my boy, I love me some Kevin Holland. He won in a submission round one at 2 minutes and 39 seconds. That's my dog. Finally, something that Riley Lucas would have predicted accurately. What did you guys think was going to happen with this fight? So, before the results, what did you predict was going to happen here? Validate me just a little bit.
We predicted Kevin Holland. I think we were all unanimous after last week that it was Kevin Holland.
Let me have a win, guys. Come on. No, I'm the naughty.
I think we've always been big Kevin Holland fans here on Pound for Pound. So, I mean,
we are.
It makes sense that the decision, you know. But one thing I actually didn't predict heading into this fight was that Kevin Holland was going to win by submission. Which is, yeah, it's funny. Actually,
knockout vibe.
Yeah, exactly. Post facto, though, I remember seeing actually a clip of Chiesa going on DCRC on ESPN and him saying that, you know, his kryptonite is kind of like darts chokes. I mean, he's gotten choked out. I believe all of his submission losses are due to darts chokes, which is pretty funny. And he was like kind of jokingly saying like, oh, I might get into trouble this fight. And hilariously enough, that's actually what ended the fight.
No, I mean, was that his third consecutive loss to the choke, I believe?
I know he lost.
Not consecutive, but...
Not consecutive? I know it's his third consecutive loss, but I wasn't sure if that was...
Yeah, I believe the first fight in this three-fight losing streak was due to darts. He got choked out by Luke, and I think it happened once before, a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm. Either way, I think it's very inevitable. Like, let's get some defensive techniques going here. Like, what are we doing? If we can acknowledge that that's your kryptonite, like, why are we not
working on
fixing that? Yeah, let's work on that. I think it's very, honestly, like, I kind of want to slap some sense in this moron with peace and love, of course.
I will say, though, credit to Kevin Holland, though, because he said in his post-fight interview in the Octagon that he did study a lot of tape heading into this fight, and he knew that Michael Chiesa, when he feels like he's in danger, he doesn't, you know, he kind of freaks out and opens up submissions or just bad positions for himself. He even said that that knee that ended up dropping Chiesa actually didn't even land, and he just kind of freaked out a little bit, leading to the choke. So honestly, heading out of this fight, I am so, so happy that Kevin Holland is actually looking at some tape now, because this is like worlds apart from the Wonder Boy fight where he was like, I'm just going to strike with him, you know? I'm glad that he's, you know, just learning from his mistakes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. What do you got to say, Monty? I felt like you had something real quick there. You were
The Dockery choke. This is not something you want to see from a wrestler, a guy whose background is in wrestling. I want to say, yeah, the Luque fight, he lost. And then it wasn't the Brady fight. The Brady fight was a unanimous decision loss. But then it was one before. And now this. I understand the hiatus. I understand there's going to be some rust there. Like, I don't expect it. Well, we did see with Kelvin Gastelum, but sometimes you don't always make a big splashback. But it's just not something that you want to see from a wrestler. I don't know. This is his third consecutive loss. He says he still has some in the tank. I believe him. He's a really, really good fighter. But yeah, it just sucks to see.
That's where I might differ a little bit, because I don't know if I do believe him. You know, I think he could say that all he wants, but I want to see it first. I really want to see that from him. And that's something I have yet to see here, especially after three consecutive losses. It's just hard for me to believe him when he makes that statement.
I mean, just to rest.
But go Kevin Holland, because that's our boy.
Yeah.
Let me jump on that wave.
I will say, though, I mean, Chiesa, he's had some real peaks and valleys in the UFC. I mean, he's gone from winning the only Ultimate Fighter season that was ever, like, I believe, done live, which is, you know, just a pretty cool fun fact. Also, I mean, just generally Ultimate Fighter winner, that's a big accomplishment. To go from that to three consecutive losses and also wrapped in that a two-year layoff. Yeah, it's just, I mean, I'm glad that he is getting more into like the realm of commentating, because I feel like he is actually really good at that. But it's definitely playing into his fighting at this point, I think.
No, I agree 100%. And again, not to have another full circle moment, I feel like we've had a lot here with UFC 291. But when we first chopped it up, our first ever episode of Pound for Pound, months and months ago, there was a big Kevin Holland fight. And I think we were all pulling for Kevin Holland. I think that was the one fight we might have agreed on for our first episode, because we all love Kevin Holland. So the fact that we can all agree again and end this episode off on a happy note, because it's, we all know, anyone who listens to the show, we don't agree often. We never do. And although it, I will say, it used to work in my favor, it lately hasn't been. I don't know. I got to say, I think me and Madi swapped places, which is just hard for me to believe. I just never, it's karma. It's karma for me bullying you all this time. It really came back and bit me.
Man, I think what I'm going to do is probably just go back into all the previous episodes. And I think I'm going to like make a spreadsheet just like all your guys' picks. And then maybe like by the end of the year or something, we can just like have like, you know, whoever scored better, something like that.
Listen, I would love that. I still think I might have a little bit of an edge on you, but I'm not sure. Honestly, you've been killing it with these predictions, Madi. I don't know. What's in your drinking water? Like, what are you throwing up there in the Bronx? I don't know. Like, what are you sipping up there? I don't know, but it's something good, clearly, and I need to get my hands on it because you've been on fire and I need to get back to that. But at the moral of the story, I mean, we had a powerful weekend between boxing, between UFC 291, and this summer. I mean, it's not over. We got a lot of good stuff coming up in the future. We have a lot of good stuff coming up in the fall. So it is not the last you will hear for us over at Pound for Pound. I'm joined here by Madi Dembele. I'm joined here by Andrew Cruneri, the OG crew, which I love to have. I love chatting up with you guys. I love busting Madi's balls whenever I can. I love agreeing with Andrew whenever I can. Sorry, Madi, you're my little punchy bag. I love it. So this was another killer episode of Pound for Pound. We will see you next week. We are a product of WFUB Sports, which is ran by Madi Chaffardini. Have a great week, guys.